you for all of you who stepped outside of your comfort zone. First of all, we need to be really, really clear about one thing. The story of Gideon, it has nothing to do with the guys who put Bibles in motel rooms. Just want to be clear so we don't get confused, and it takes till the end of the sermon before we figure that out, okay? Gideon, on the other hand, is one of those scared of his own shadow type of guys. He is, as the children told us, hiding. He's hiding in the wine press, and he has not wheat, but weeds. And he's pounding them to try to make some kind of grain or flour so he can make something to eat. You see, the Israelites are under the domination of the Midianites. Now, we can't help but be kind of curious to see how that's happened. I mean, Israelites are the powerful people of God, right? And suddenly they're shirking and hiding from the Midianites. Well, Scripture tells us how that happened. The Israelites had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay, so that's one of those biblical phrases. We see it often. The people had done evil in the sight of the Lord. That's where you go, okay, details? That's the first sentence of the paragraph, and now you fill the paragraph out. What had they done? Well, we can pretty well understand that chances are very good that they had gotten caught up in who they were and how important they were and how powerful they were in their own selves. They had done evil in the sight of the Lord. They had become more concerned with their pocketbooks rather than caring for the widow or the poor or those in need, in poverty among them. They had gotten more concerned about how important they were and how much power they had than the power of their God, Yahweh, the God of the Israelites who had led them out of Egypt. They had done evil in the sight of the Lord. It's not that unusual of a concept. It's really easy for any one of us or for all of us to fall into that trap of falling into the sense of importance that our culture wants us to take on, to fall into that trap of what matters is what salary they're offering me, not what type of help I am offering to those in need. It's easy. It's easy for us to fall into that trap. And so, the people had done evil in the sight of the Lord, and they were under the domination of the Midianites. Midianites? Definitely bad people. Evil. Vicious. Proud of their power. They went around not just overtaking the herds and the all of the flocks and so forth of the Israelites. They didn't just take them, they slaughtered them in the fields. Yeah. To the point that the Israelites had nothing to eat. So the Israelites would think, well, we'll plant some food. We'll plant some corn, we'll plant some wheat, and they would plant some fields and gardens. And as soon as they started to come up and started looking a little bit lush and like the Israelites were getting a little hope, things are looking better, we're going to have some food to eat, the Midianites would come in, tear them out. Gone. No more crops. The Israelites became a desolate people. They became overwhelmed. They totally lost hope. They lost an awareness of God being anywhere with them. You ever been in a place like that in your life? Where you've planted the crops and they're starting to come up, or maybe you paid off that car loan? Yes! A little bit extra money every month. And then you notice that, gosh, it's getting hot in here. You know, and you're going, it's 92 degrees in this house. I mean, I know it's 112 outside, but it's 92 in this house. The air conditioning's gone out. So much for that extra money. And you start being overwhelmed. And you start wondering, what's going on here? How am I ever going to get a leg up? You kind of want to hide in the closet. Want to pull the blanket over your head. You want to become invisible because you just don't know what to do. That's the Israelites. That's where they are. And they are hiding. They are literally hiding. They're living in caves on the side of the mountain. They're doing everything to try to make themselves invisible to the Midianites. Life is painful. In their desperation, they even turn to Baal, the pagan god of the Midianites. They feel desperate. They see no sign of God. They hear no voice from the heavens. God has deserted them and left them. And instead of really turning to God, they end up and do more evil in the sight of God. They begin worshiping a pagan god. Desperation can do that to us. I pastored in a small town one time, and they were always looking for that outsider who was going to come in and make things better. And you would get a new council person, or you would get a new city manager. Yes! And they would gather around that person, you know, and it was almost like this. And within a few months, you know, that's what is happening with the Israelites. They're turning anywhere, even to a pagan god. Sometimes for us, it means, honey, I think it's time for me to start buying a couple lottery tickets. Oh, you laugh. Did you see the guy that made $47 million last week on a lottery ticket? If him, why not me? It can be our logic sometimes. Or how about, I saw a place in that strip mall over there that said if you bring in your car title, they'll give you some money. I need some money. I had a young woman come into my office in tears one day. She had gone to one of those, what is it, paycheck loan things, and it just kept doing what those things do. It kept rolling and getting further and further out of control. Desperate measures for desperate times? Well, in the midst of all of that and all that fear and in that hiding, Scripture tells us that suddenly something good begins to happen. We get that wonderful pronouncement. An angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. Okay, close the book, put it aside. I mean, really? An angel of the Lord. My mother told me once that those stories happened long ago. They don't happen now. An angel of the Lord. Personally, I have had so many angels appear in my life. Times when I was confused, times when I felt overwhelmed, times when things just weren't going so hot. For many of us, that might be something as simple as a ping on our cell phone, a text message. I was just thinking about you and thought I'd say hi. Wow. There are days when that's the best word you hear at all. Or maybe finally after 3 or 4 days you make yourself go out to the mailbox because you've been dreading it and you've been avoiding it because you know what's in that mailbox is one more bill after another. And you bring those in and you start going through them and what's this? It's a card. It's hand addressed. Not my birthday. Not Father's Day. Not Mother's Day. And you open it up, and just this simple little message, this little smiley face that says, I know you've been having a rough time. I'm thinking about you. You are not alone. An angel of the Lord? Boy, I think so. I know what those have meant to me. You're sitting in the waiting room outside. A loved one is in surgery. And you feel so alone. And you look up, and there's a friend, not necessarily the pastor. It's a friend that you really weren't expecting. And suddenly you truly are not alone anymore. An angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. And this angel, this spokesperson for God, did what oftentimes happens in our own lives. This angel started telling Gideon, got some jobs for you. The Lord hath need of thee. When I would use that to members of my congregation, they would do this. Gideon, the Lord hath need of thee. And suddenly exploding, you can see all the little bubbles, you know. Me? No, not me. That guy over there, he's big, he's strong. I'm weak, I'm old, I'm tired, I'm confused. I've never done that before. What? He wants me to what? All of the excuses. But the angel of the Lord is saying, nudging you, got something else planned for you. It happened to a friend of mine a few weeks ago, right here at Desert Skies. One of those angels of the Lord, they do come in many different guises, says, hey, we would like you to help serve communion. My friend is even more of an introvert than I am, and really I'm pretty much of an introvert. And all of her excuses flood through her mind. What, me? In front of the entire congregation? Holding a cup of juice. Okay, it splatters, it falls, I fall. All of that happens, of course, very quickly. And then she says, well, okay, all right. Never done that before, but I'll do it. That Sunday comes and I find her out on the patio. The blood of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ given for you. Service is over. Walking outside, and I see her, and I say, so, how did that go? It was wonderful. Not what I was expecting. Wasn't sure if we were going to be having a meltdown there. Wasn't sure at all. And she just, It was so wonderful. She said, I'm standing there and I'm holding the cup, and this friend that I know from one of the classes came through and took a piece of bread and put it in my cup, and then she looked at me and said, thank you. And she said, I felt warm all over. And from then on, it was wonderful. What's that phrase we've been focusing on? Something about God with us? No matter what size of our fear, no matter what amount of our anxiety, God with us. Well, Gideon listens to this angel of the Lord. And the angel says, you know, your people are worshiping Baal. They have that altar where they're making sacrifices. They have that pole that they worship. You, Gideon, are going to destroy that. Right. A little bit outside of a comfort zone. So, under cover of darkness, wise man. Under cover of darkness, he takes some servants, they go, they destroy the altar, they tear down the pole, and they sneak back home. The next morning, the sun comes up, and yeah, it all breaks loose. The people see that their altar that they have built and have been using to worship this god of the Midianites, this pagan god, has been destroyed. What is going to happen now? They're furious. And they go to Gideon's father and they say, turn Gideon over to us so we can kill him. Joshua, Gideon's dad's pretty wise. And he goes, let me think about this. I tell you what, if you have placed your confidence in Baal, that this pagan god is going to somehow save you, make your lives better, get you out of this situation, let's let Baal deal with Gideon. Wise man. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes when we know we are doing the right thing, even our best friends turn on us. Ever had that happen? You ever have a child come home from school? Mommy, they were picking on Billy and I told them to stop and they all started calling me names. Doing the right thing does not always bring the accolades that we might expect or want. But at the same time, doing the right thing is the right thing. God with us, Gideon is not harmed. But the angel decides to take things a little bit further, and he says, Gideon, all right, you've done that. Step number one. Now you need to put together an army to overthrow the Midianites. An army. Okay, sure, an army. There's lots of those people, you know, an army. So he puts out the word in the Israelite community, and finally they're ready. Okay, we are going to do something. We are going to take ownership of this situation. We are going to defeat the Midianites. And he has a huge crowd of people that come to be in the army. And God says, wait a second. Remember, you've got me. You don't need thousands of soldiers. Because if you have all of these soldiers who overpower the Midianites, they're going to forget. Once again, we tend to forget. You're going to forget that I am the one who is with you, and I am the one who is bringing defeat of your enemy. So he says, if you're afraid, go back home. 22,000 are gone. And then God said, still too many. And they get down to 300. Now, the numbers in Scripture usually don't have a whole lot of significance except to show you the odds. So we're told that the Midianites had like 130,000. Gideon had 300. The plan is simple. You surround the Midianites. You take noisemakers and you take torches and you take jars, and all at the same time on the signal, you start crashing and banging and booming and flashing. And the Midianites are horrified. They run away. They fall on their swords. They use the swords against each other. Not one hair on the heads of the Israelites is in any way damaged. God with us. God with us in all things in our lives. I would like to challenge you this week to take your Bibles, you know, the big ones that have everything in it, and go to that part that's called the Old Testament. Most Bibles have that. Go to the Old Testament. Dust off the book of Judges and begin to read for yourselves the story of Gideon. Not as a bedtime story, not, come on kids, let's gather around under the blanket and let's read this nice little story. No, 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 no. To do with the story of Gideon what it is intended to do. Even within that story, we are told. This story is recorded for your learning. We hear that often in Scripture. I am telling this so that you might know. We are sharing this story that you might learn. These beautiful ancient stories, 3,000 years ago, yeah, they've got nothing to do with me. Yes, they do. It's amazing. I challenge you to take that story and find those places where you yourself have experienced absolute despair. I have a friend whose marriage was falling apart. Been to counseling, done everything. It wasn't working, and she didn't want to do what she felt she had to do. And one morning, she says, she woke up and it was like all of the trouble was lifted from her, and she was able to proceed with her very difficult decision. It's called God with us. Whatever the circumstance, go in that story and allow yourself to step into it and to be able to say, yes, I've been there, or yes, I am there. And recognize the way in which God is calling you to trust God's presence in your life. We can compare our society, our culture, with what the Israelites were going through. Things were bad. We are in the situation where it's sometimes we feel as though our world itself is ready to just implode. What is it that God is calling you to do in the midst of so much turmoil? What is the voice that is telling you what is the right way to treat your neighbors? What is the right way to treat those who appear different from you? What is the right way to be God's presence in our world? The story of Gideon shows us, because the underlying truth is, do the right thing. God is with you. You may not get ribbons and gold medals, but God is with you in all things, in the past, in the present, in the future, now and forever. God with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.